You may be wondering, well, why on earth? Why on earth did we just read that list of names? Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you have spent any time on Ancestry.com or websites like that? Put those hands, come on, don't be shy. Yep, a number of you. How many of you have a family member who has researched your family tree? Yeah, quite a few of you. Most of us want to know where we've come from. It helps us understand our families and ourselves. As a child, I knew that my grandfather had immigrated to Canada, that he came with his brothers from the Ukraine, and together that they had homesteaded in Saskatchewan. Well, a number of years ago, when I was visiting New York City with my brother, we were talking with my dad, or maybe it was an email, I can't remember, but all of a sudden, out of the blue, my dad said, "You got to go to Ellis Island." Well, Ellis Island, why? Well, he said, our grandfather's name is there on a plaque. Ellis Island, you might know, was the busiest immigration station in the U.S. in the first half of the 20th century. Didn't know my grandfather's name was there, so we decided we would go and make that trip, and there, as promised, we saw that plaque, my grandfather's name, written there. I had heard the stories, but somehow seeing that plaque with my own eyes gave me a better sense of my own family history. I saw more clearly that the Philips were immigrants who, like so many others, sought a new beginning in a better land. Now that's about as far as I can go into my family history. Beyond my grandfather, I haven't heard much, though I've read some apocryphal stories. In Canada, our family is among the more recent waves of immigrants. Our Canadian roots aren't very deep. Of course, that's not true for all of us, is it? One summer, I was a student minister at a church in Woodstock, New Brunswick, and I was making a visit to one gentleman, and I asked him, just as a part of conversation, how long he had been in Woodstock. His response, 8 generations. Of course, 8 generations has nothing on the genealogy that was read for us this morning. Matthew describes for us the family tree of Jesus, and he takes us back 42 generations. Yes, 42 generations. It seems maybe odd for us to encounter a genealogy at the beginning of any story, and yet it would seem that just as we understand ourselves better when we know our own histories, that Jesus is somehow more fully revealed when we encounter his lineage and see the members of his family tree. So what does this history disclose? What is the gospel writer, what is Matthew trying to show us? Well, I can think of at least a few things. It would seem that, first of all, Matthew is reminding us that Jesus is a Jew, that is, an authentic Jew, a son of Abraham. In the second century, a Greek philosopher named Psellus is credited with claiming that Jesus' father was a Roman soldier named Pantera. Given Jesus' virgin birth, it's very possible that rumors about his origin were circulating during his lifetime. Well, what Matthew makes clear is that through Joseph, Jesus is connected to the father of the Jewish nation. But more than just connecting him to the patriarch Abraham, this also connects Jesus to those promises that God made to Abraham. Remember that from Genesis 12? I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. As Paul interprets these promises, it's through Jesus that this blessing is received by all the nations. In this way, Jesus is connected both to Abraham and then the entire world. That's at least one thing I think we can learn from this genealogy. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is a son, an authentic son of Abraham. But Matthew also wants us to see that Jesus is a descendant of David. This is declared in bold at the outset of Matthew's introduction. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David. The genealogy then goes on to trace this royal lineage. All of this is meant to disclose that as a descendant of David, Jesus is no usurper, but is a legitimate ruler of God's people. He's got royal blood. In this way, we are invited to make the connection that Jesus is that promised descendant that had been longed for by God's people, the one that Isaiah speaks about saying, "For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore." Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is an authentic Jew who has a royal lineage. He asserts that Jesus is the Messiah the people have been waiting for, even if his ancestry is traced through his stepdad. But I think Matthew's genealogy does more than exalt Jesus. So I think there's a third thing that we can learn from this. And it's about the sort of people that God works through, the sort of people that God uses to bring about God's plans. Now, what is really interesting, if you go into commentaries and read about this section, is the variety of characters and their stories behind those characters in this family tree. I mean, most of them, or some of them, you will recognize. There are ancestors who are remembered for their faith, people like Abraham, right? People like Ruth. And there are relatives with mixed legacies. I mean, think of Solomon, the wisest of all kings, yet it says he was led astray, right? He was wise, but he couldn't keep track of his household. The list also includes con artists. I mean, think about Jacob. He swindled his brother out of an inheritance. And then there are a bunch of women with, I guess you would call it, non-conforming sexual histories. Tamar tricked her father-in-law into getting her pregnant, while Rahab worked as a prostitute. Then finally, and you might not recognize these names, some of the more infamous people, infamous for completely ignoring God or disobeying God, ancestors like Ahaz. Remember Ahaz and Elijah? And then there's Manasseh, who followed his father Hezekiah. Manasseh did not follow in good Hezekiah's footsteps. In fact, he reversed much of Hezekiah's religious reforms. He erected idols in God's own temple. He sacrificed his own sons on the altar of a heathen god. He wasn't a good king for Israel. Now, that's Jesus' family, right? That's his genealogy. That's his family tree. It gets even more interesting when you realize that in sharing this, Matthew is being selective, okay? Those 42 generations broken up into even sections, he actually overlooked some of Jesus' ancestors. But it's unusual, wouldn't you think, that some of those folks would make the cut? I mean, most of us would like to do some whitewashing of our own families, right? And forget about this uncle or this cousin. But Matthew doesn't do that. Matthew includes characters that we might otherwise want to forget. Maybe you've spent this some time this Christmas season thinking about that odd group you call family. There's that brother who's very successful, who has two homes and takes long trips abroad every year. He's successful and flaunts it and makes everyone else feel small. Then there is that uncle that keeps himself scarce. He avoids family functions ever since he was convicted of fraud and spent time in jail. There's that aunt who, despite her Christian upbringing, refuses to darken the doorway of a church even at Christmas. And then there's your sister who just left her husband. She caught him in his third affair, and this time, finally, decided to call it quits. And then there is you. There is you. Maybe a recovering alcoholic who made it through yet another Christmas without a bottle to keep yourself company, despite the fact that you really could have used it. Maybe you've noticed some of the brokenness in your own family this Christmas. Well, if you look closely at Matthew's genealogy, you'll notice that in addition to being an authentic Jew, in addition to being a royal descendant, Jesus also had a very broken family. And if God can work out God's purposes through all the lying, the scheming, and the just plain godlessness of Jesus' ancestors, then God can surely work out his purposes in a family like yours and mine. May we see God at work in our families in the year that awaits us. And to God be all the glory. Amen.